You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Now, the sermon series is all about not being the best, but doing our best, okay? We're not starting some competition amongst believers that we would be the best believers on the planet. We're not starting some competition so that when you go and see your family at Christmas, where you have a competition, I'm a better dad than my siblings, or I'm a better son than my siblings, or whatever, in case there are. It's just all about not being the best, but doing our best to honor God, amen? So in every area of your life, honoring God. In every area of your life, doing your best like Scripture says, okay? Now, we've been through so many topics and areas of our lives where we can honor God, and we've been through it, and we talked this morning that when we honor God in an area of our lives, God will reward us in that area. It's not because we're so obsessed with being blessed. It's just that's the way God says He's going to do things. If you honor me here, put me first here, I will reward you in that same area, okay? And so if we honor God in our families will be rewarded, amen? If we honor God in our finances will be rewarded, amen? If I honor God in my workplace, I'll be rewarded in my workplace. And so it's all about everywhere we are doing our best to honor God in that area of our life and trusting God to fill the gaps. Who knows no one's perfect, right? Come on, are you awake? Who knows no one's perfect, all right? All the perfect people, you're free to leave because I got nothing for you today. Nothing at all right? But if you're not perfect like me, you can trust in the Lord that as you honor Him, that He will fill the gaps, amen? Trust God, do your best, and trust Him to take care of the rest. So that's what this sermon series has been all about. But today, I want you to leave here, or if you listen to a podcast even, I want you to finish it with a commitment in your heart to realize that all this working hard and training hard is fantastic, but there's another important element that you need to remember, and that is to find rest and refreshment in the Lord. See, after all this work that we put in, after all this stuff that we do for God, as we talked about this morning, it's important that we remember to find rest and refreshment for our hearts in the Lord. We're all doing so much. We're serving God so much. It's fantastic. We wouldn't have it any other way. God wouldn't want us to be any other way. We're crushing it, to borrow a line from the sermon series, in so many areas of our lives, or maybe we've been inspired to begin to crush it, to begin to honor Him in the areas, and to work hard, to do our best. But we have to remember that God also wants to give you rest. God wants you to have rest. If you in Him, you'll find refreshment, can find joy, find hope, find courage and direction. It all comes from finding rest in the Lord. Are you ready to pray? God, You are awesome. We are so blessed to be here. And God, we thank You so much for this church, for every person in it. We thank You for this building, for this place where we get to come. You've been so good to us in our lives and in our church. And we just ask You, Lord, that as we continue to do our best and to honor You in the areas of our lives, that You would help us to remember to come to You and find rest. And when we do, God, I pray for refreshed hearts, for peace, for joy, for an overflow, Lord God, of great vision and excitement and inspiration in our hearts and lives. And God, I pray tonight that just as we know, and as Your word says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, that those who come here tonight will find rest in You, find peace in You. God, help us to find it in You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to Scripture, right? Following two Scriptures are going to be the foundation of this message tonight. Before I read them, I want you to be encouraged. Listen. Receive what they tell us, all right? Are you ready? He wants to give you rest. He wants to help you. He doesn't just want to use and abuse you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you rest. Are you ready? Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to Me. Come to Me." This is Christ talking. "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews 4 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Talking about Jesus Christ here. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted to quit. He can strengthen you, and we need him to come. So we need to come to him with confidence that he will help us. We need rest. You need rest, amen? You need rest. Are you hearing me? Awesome. Awesome. Now, if you're new here today, we should probably warn you. I don't like quiet church. I signed up to be in this church, all right? Not a quiet church, all right? So make sure you yell at me. Make sure you yell back at me, or I'll start to think you're asleep, and I'll be like, I'm done. All right, I'll go home. Someone can download a podcast and play that to them, all right? Come on. Are we alive? Are we awake? Are we ready for more of the word? Amen. Good. Come on, if it's good, say it's good, all right? If it's great, say it's great. If you're loving it, say I love it, all right? Good, I'm glad to hear it. Today, if you hear his word, trust in it and enter into his rest. You don't need to worry about eternity. We talked about that this morning, right? We talked about how we find an eternal reward in Christ. How everything we do for the Lord has a reward now and a reward in eternity, right? And that we don't need to worry about our eternities because God has us in his hands. He'll hold us and he'll reward us. We don't need to worry about that. We'll rest in him, but he has rest and peace for you right now. It goes beyond that. Listen to all this scripture. I'm going to read you a ton of scripture, all right? Now, if you like it while I'm reading the Word of God, I hope you like it because it's the Word of God, right? So if you like it, feel free to say, oh, I like it, all right? Feel free to say, oh, that's good. Feel free to say, I need that, all right? If it's good. But only if you like the Word of God. If you don't say it, all right? But if you like it, feel free to say it. But this here is for you. Are you ready? Genesis 8 says that even the ark had rest. Now, there's no coincidence about this, all right? God finds it important to remind us that we need rest, that he will give us rest. There was a boat, a big boat that God gave rest, it says, on the seventh month. Now, how do we know that that's intentional? Because God's always talking about rest on the seventh, right? And so on the seventh month, a boat comes to rest on the mountain of Ararat. It says in Genesis 8, and on the seventh day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountain of Ararat. Come on, if he's going to give a boat rest, I reckon he'll give you some, all right? If he cares about a boat, it's a boat, right? Then he cares about you, amen? Jeremiah 33:12, the Lord Almighty says, in this place, desolate, without people or animals, in all the towns, there will be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. What? Now he wants the flocks to have rest? Are you kidding me? He cares that the animals and the flocks will have rest. God wants the cattle to have rest. God talks about the land having rest. And then we know, don't we, that God says in the New Testament, talking about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, how he has clothed them. And if he loves them and cares for them, how much more does he care for you is exactly what he says. So God cares about a boat having rest. He cares about birds and lilies and flocks in the field having rest. And then he tells us he cares more about us than them. God wants to give you rest, my friend. Psalm 37:7. Be still. Ooh, better read that quieter. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. What? You mean I don't need to stress out when people are being that crap crazy all around me? I was trying to make sure I didn't accidentally say some word that wasn't allowed in America. And if you're new here, I have this theory that Americans have invented a list of cuss words that no one else in the world believes are bad to say. And so every now and again, I got to like sort of double check myself so I don't like cuss out the whole church. All right. I'm still learning. I'm trying to become more like you while explaining to you that you're wrong. All right. So when people are going crazy around you, when people are doing crazy things all the way around you, just be still before God. Wait patiently on Him. He will give you rest. Amen. In the most craziest of situations, God wants to give you rest. Isaiah 14 says, "When the Lord has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and the hard service with which you were made to serve, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has ceased and the insolent fury ceased." Come on now. We get to rest in God while they get destroyed. I liked that. I liked that, right? When they're coming against us, when the devil's trying to have a go at us, we just get to say, not right now, buddy. I just need some rest. So I rest in the Lord. I wake up from my rest and He's been crushed. Praise God, right? I love it, right? God's out crushing the devil and I'm having a snooze in the kingdom. Praise the Lord, right? Psalm 4:8, in peace, I will lay down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You getting the idea about this? Are you right? You getting the idea? Someone's sort of starting to get a bit convinced that God actually cares about rest. Like, He cares about strange things, right? Like, God cares about all the seemingly insignificant details of your life, the areas that you think surely God in heaven wouldn't care. You know what? Your congressman might not care. The police might not care. The fireman might not care. The nurse or the doctor or the school teacher might not care. The principal of the school might not care. The dean of students might not care. But God cares about the most tiny and insignificant little area of your life. And when you turn it over to Him, He says, "I will give you peace. I will give you rest." Amen. Matthew 11:28. Come on, no offense, Vern. I know this officer down the back here cares. He's a good man. We love you, Vern. If you got some problems, feel free to share them with Vern. Right, Vern? Good. He's going to get out his book. We just filled up his week. So someone's like, "Vern, I want to talk to you about the pastor. He cusses a lot." And so Matthew 11:28. "Come to me." We're going back here again. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you know what a yoke is? I know a lot of people, when they hear this, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," they think of like someone like frying an egg on their head or something, right? And like, there's a yoke on my head and it's not heavy, right? And they're like, it sounds awesome that God gave me an egg, but why do I care, right? Well, the yoke is talking about when cattle were in the field and they would tow the plow, right? The yoke is what attaches them to the work, all right? It was the bars, the wooden stirrup, so to speak, that would go out the arms around the beast and it would carry it, and that would attach it to the work. And God is saying to you that my yoke is easy. Right? My yoke is easy and the burden behind it is light. Now, why would we even want a yoke? You'd be like, surely we just don't want a yoke. Well, how's that working so far when we're not attached to the Lord? Hey? And so we want to be attached to the plans of God for our lives, don't we? We want Him behind us, in front of us, around us, directing us, giving us wisdom. We want His yoke to give us purpose, amen. But the yoke is easy and His burden is light. Sometimes we can grow a little weary, and God wants to remind you that it isn't that He isn't. He's not a bad boss. He's not whipping the beast in the field. He's not a boss who just wants to drain every moment He can out of you, not trying to get the bottom dollar for the most work out of you. Come on, God's not that guy. He doesn't use you for His benefit and forget about you. This morning we heard about how God wants to reward us for everything that we do in our lives to honor Him. Come on, God is not a terrible boss or an evil master. Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest." When? If we do not give up. Don't give up. Come on now. God has got a reward for you. Don't give up. Number two, He wants to give you rest. I'm going to keep saying it. He wants to give you rest. If you're overcome, overwhelmed, I want to ask you, when's the last time that you sat down and said, God, I'm going to sit here. Would you give me rest in my heart? Rest for my soul. Rest not just for my body, but my heart. He wants you to rest. He cares that you don't burn out. He created you flesh and blood. That wasn't an accident. He knew what he was making, all right? It was a plan. Before time began, God said, let us make man in our image. And he thought of you, right? He thought of you. You weren't some cosmic accident. Oh, wow. The apes are looking at each other going, dude, you look different. And something went wrong. Who's your daddy? That didn't happen. That did not happen, all right? God planned you before time began. He had a purpose for you. You're on purpose. And in that plan, you were flesh and blood. He created you and with a need to rest. But not just a need to rest, you were designed for rest. Not just so you can rejuvenate and get back into it, but you were designed to enjoy rest. See, rest by God's design wasn't some idea that, well, I better rest or I'll just pass out and die. No. You were designed to not just rejuvenate in your rest, but you were designed to enjoy resting in Him. Enjoy your downtime. Enjoy a movie. I love a good movie. Hence the reason I quote one in nearly every sermon. And enjoy a meal out of town. Enjoy a vacation. But most of all, you were designed to enjoy resting in the Lord. To spend some time in meditation on His Word. To thinking about God. Spending time in worship. Now, I never used to be good at this. But thank God I learned before I had a blowout. Praise God. All right. Now, I have a rather busy life and not that busy though, right, babe? It's pretty busy, apparently. No. We have a pretty busy life and I thank God that I learned to get some downtime and to not just some downtime, not just working out at the gym, not just going for a run or riding my bike or going to a movie, but I'm glad that I figured out the importance and the joy of resting in the Lord almost daily. I can actually do more because I fit it in and I rest. You know that? You know how to rest in the Lord? That verse in Hebrews says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Huh. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. You spend time in prayer, in worship, even in stillness, confident that because of Jesus, you're actually allowed in that space. Ask Him for peace and rest. See that confidence, why put the confidence in there? Because that confidence is talking about the fact that because of Jesus, you're allowed in that space next to God. And anyone in God's presence will find rest for their soul, amen? Anyone in God's presence will find rest. And so many of us struggle with, am I even allowed in that space? And we know that because of Jesus Christ, you're allowed in God's presence. You're allowed in that space. And how do we get into that space? Well, come on, we just confidently begin to worship Him. And God says that I inhabit the praises of my people. And when we spend time in worship, calling out on the name of God, Scripture says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So we draw near to God and we worship Him and He inhabits the praises of His people and He draws near to us. And we find ourselves in the very presence of God, confident that we're actually allowed to be here because Jesus Christ made it okay because of exactly what Sean showed us earlier, that we get to spend time in the presence of God. Now, I never used to be like that. I do it a lot now, but I never used to be like that. I'd worship God on Sundays, and I'd ask Him for stuff on the other days, usually after I'd exhausted all other possibilities first. Anyone else been like that? You know, like I'm stressing my hiney out, right? I'm freaking out. And, you know, I got $3,000 due next Tuesday at 3 o'clock for something. And so I'm like, all right, I can do this, I can do this. So I stress and stress and stress and freak out and freak out and freak out. And I'm running around, I'm talking to my dad, I'm talking to all my rich relatives, right? That's what we do, isn't it? And we got all our, we call all the rich ones, the rich aunties, the rich uncles, the rich parents, the rich anyone we can get hold of that loves us dearly. And we're like, I'm freaking out. And they don't want to help. They're like, you got yourself into this mess, get yourself out of it. I got that reply a lot from my parents. And I'm like, but you're rich. And so, but they didn't care. So I'd run to the bank, I'd ask for help. You do this, you do that, you're freaking out. And then at 2:48 on Tuesday, if God's lucky, we remember to ask him for help. Anyone else, prayer life used to be like that? Yeah, yeah. I got cancer. I'm going to die on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Well, if the doctor can't fix me by 1:58, I'm going to ask God to save me. I want to ask God the second I find out I got a need now. Amen. I want to ask God the second I find out I need something from him. I want to say, because you know what? It's not weakness. I know that you need God as much as I do. And so knowing that, I'm like, God, I'm coming into your throne room with confidence, knowing I'm allowed to be here and I'm asking you for help. Now it's a whole nother story in my life. I just love to spend time in prayer and in worship, and I've recently begun to love throwing on a CD of worship and sometimes lay on the floor as the CD's playing. Hillsong's my favorite. I just love to listen to Hillsong. And if you don't have any CDs of worship, afterwards go see Pastor Christy out at the Connection Lounge out there, and she'll give you one of the Hillsong CDs. We got plenty out there for anyone who doesn't have one. And I just love laying there, just breathing in his peace, breathing in his rest for my heart, for my soul. Amen. I do this almost every day. I told you this morning, I do it in the car sometimes. Like, I freak people out, and I'll be at the traffic light, and I'll just be singing and singing and singing. And if you've stood next to me in worship, I sing loud and completely out of tune, right? And I'm not a singer, right? And you know what Jesus said? That when I worship him in spirit and truth, I sound like a chorus of angels. Yeah, that's right. I don't care if you think I sound like a rat being drowned. Do you know what? God says I sound like a chorus of angels. Amen. Anyone else sound like a chorus of angels? To God at least? Yeah. Yeah. Hands up if it's only to God for you. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to my life, right? And so we can, and the cool thing is in the car, we can like screamo worship. Right? Windows up, screamo worship. It's fantastic because all anyone else can see is this. Right? Now, they don't know that you don't sound amazing. Right? As far as they know, you sound like Beyonce or something, right? You're fantastic, right? And so I do that all the time in the car. I seriously remember one time, I used to be afraid of what people think. I preached on this in youth about 5-6 years ago, back when I was a youth pastor. That was a long time ago. Wow, I'm getting old. Anyway, so I preached about this. I was telling them how one day I was at a traffic light, just worshiping the Lord, but like this. And I'm like, I got to be quiet, though. Like, I can't be too exuberant. People in the world are watching, right? And so I just sing. And I just felt like God say, you know what? How about you let loose in the car right now? I just felt him speaking into my heart. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, I sang louder. And it's like, how's that letting loose? Come on now. And I'm like, fine. I got my hand up now. I'm in the car, I'm worshiping God, and I just let loose. I'm like, I'm going to worship God. I don't care what people think. You know what? They're going to come here one day and visit, and they're going to see my hands up worshiping God anyway. Who cares if they see it in the car, right? At least they know what they're going to get before they get here, right? Come on now. We aren't the church that's going to stand here and go, this is how we worship. Oh, my tie's not straight. Oops, moved again. Like, that's not how I do worship, all right? I love when scripture, I love that song that says, and it's based on scripture, right? It says, and I will get even more undignified than this, all right? It means what that's saying is, I don't care what you think. I just want to worship the Lord. I don't care what you think. I just want to be in his presence. And if that means I look like a fool, well, guess what? Well, faith makes a fool of what makes sense. Amen. And when I live a kind of life like that, when I'm praising the Lord at every chance I get, not caring what anyone else thinks, you know what? He's drawing near to my worship. I want to tell you, now you don't have to worship like that. That's fine. But if the reason you don't worship like that is because you care what that person thinks, I want to suggest to you that you're not worshiping God, but the person you're worried about. Snap. That was good. I'm going to write that down. I wasn't even in my notes. But I mean it. If in your worship you're more concerned about what the person behind you or in the car next to you or in the house near you, if you're more concerned about what they think at that moment, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping that person. I just don't want to care. Now, if you just don't have anything in your heart that makes you want to jump for joy or makes you want to raise your hands, that's fine. Worship the Lord however you feel led. But don't let them dictate how you're going to worship your God. Amen? Don't let anyone else dictate. Yeah, come on, worship Him now. Praise Him now. Man, I've been worshiping God in the steam room. I told you about that story, hey. Oh, man. I go to the gym at about 5 a.m. every day, about 4:30 on Sundays, and about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, I was in the steam room at Lifetime down there. It was about 4:30 in the morning. Like, no one else is supposed to be there. What was that dude even doing? There was no one there. I was the only car in the parking lot when I got there, and I got my headphones in and my iPhone, which wasn't waterproof, but who cares? And so I'm just there, and I'm listening, I'm worshiping, and in the end, I got my head back against the wall, eyes closed, hands in the air. Come on, I'm worshiping the Lord in the steam room. My throat's getting prepared for the preaching from all the eucalyptus and the steam. You know, it's beautiful. My soul's being restored. My heart's getting rest. And then I hear the door close. Wish I heard it open. Hear the door close. I'm like, oh, just stretching. Oh, big workout. Gonna stretch those, whatever these ones are called, you know, the arms, right? And, get busted worshiping in the steam room a couple of times. I love laying on the floor in my office when no one else is around. Even if it's just for 5 minutes, just spend some time worshiping the Lord. Sometimes singing, sometimes praying, sometimes walking around my office and trying to set the floor on fire. Sometimes I'm just reading scripture. Sometimes I've got scripture repeating in audio format in my car or in my office when no one else is around, and I truly forget everything else and my focus is on Jesus. I'm being reset and I get overcome by this peaceful spirit and I feel brand new all over again. You ask my wife, you got to work real hard to stress me out. Really, really hard. Sometimes that annoys her, but really hard to stress me out, right? I feel like the more time I spend in the presence of God, I get overcome by the peace of God. See, this year for me, if I want to be vulnerable for a moment, has been a big year. You know, we have a board, we have a team, but as far as earthly people go, see, I know I'm not God, don't worry, and I know it's Christ Church, amen. But as far as earthly people go, it rests on my shoulders. I'm the lead pastor. The buck stops with me. And this year has been a big year. We had new staff members come on. One new this year, another to start early next year. One start part-time, got to get them to full-time. That means training, that means time, that means culture, that means finance. Hello! Hope you gave in the offering. We created a whole new program for new people at our church, right? It's called Next Steps. We've run it once with the staff and now twice up there in the youth room. We run it and it's called Next Steps. It's a 4-week course, 4 Sundays in a row for new people in our church to get connected, to find out what we believe, to learn about the culture and the values of this wonderful church. And it was a lot of work, a wonderful booklet. It's very encouraging. It's super inspiring, but it was a lot of work. We got this book together. Not to mention, we're buying a church building. We're buying a building, yeah. See, if you're new, you don't know, but we've been leasing this place for nearly 4 years. We moved in with only 100 people, actually. Tonight, there's more people in church than there were in this third service than there was in the first service that we had. Is it, well, than what we're running. It's amazing, right? Is that cool or what, right? We didn't have many chairs. Actually, we needed some more pretty quick, and we borrowed some money from another church to get some chairs. And then they let us off and said, don't worry about it, because praise God, kingdom-minded friends, amen? But now we're buying this building. That's a $1.4 million deal we're doing. We've got to negotiate buying the building. I'm negotiating. I'm like, really? 5 years ago, I was just coming to pastor a few people in a mall. I didn't know I was going to be doing multi-million dollar deals. Like, that's not my role, right? But God's equipped us. We're talking with the owner. We're talking with real estate agents, talking with lawyers and attorneys, and talking with FEMA. What? Talking to FEMA? Come on now. had to talk with FEMA so that we could get this place no longer zoned in a flood zone and save us $30,000 a year. And we won. High five. High five your neighbor and say, that's a good win. That's a good win, amen. Better believe we're praying about that one. Woo! And then we need $1 million loan. $1 million. What? What? Yeah, that's right. What, $1 million loan? Are you kidding me? So we talk to the bankers. They say yes. I'm like, huh, that worked. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. But then we got to raise the rest of the money. We got to raise all the money. And now we still need, it was this, and then it went down, and then it went back up because apparently there's lots of other bank fees and different things and negotiating with FEMA and stuff. And now we still need about $30,000 more by mid-December. That's in 3 weeks. But you know what? Like, I'm like, really? Whatever. God's got this. Can I get an amen? I believe that out of all the 700-800 people, 800-900 people that attend our church every single month, those people between us all, someone's got some way of doing something, amen? And I'm really not stressed. And I look at it and I go, how we do all that, God? How's the church doing all that? And I'm not freaking out, because really I'm not, and I mean it. I'm not worried at all. And it's not that I don't care. It's because I have a healthy prayer, worship, and rest in the Lord routine in my life. I have moments, you know, moments of, like, you know, you have that too, right? Little moments, you like freak out for a second, you're, oh, hang on, that's right, God's got this, good, let's go. And all that comes from a healthy habit of spending time with Jesus. So I want to know what's on your mind as the band comes back up. Are you feeling burdened? What's got your heart racing? Are you beginning to feel crushed rather than crushing it? It's time to take some daily rest in the Lord. Maybe you're a stay-home mum. See, I get to come here early in the morning and hang out in my office before anyone even gets here. I get to do that. Maybe you're a stay-home. Maybe you're a single mum or a single dad. It's a little difficult. What things can you alter and change around in your life to make sure that you get to unload these cares and worries on the Lord? He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you rest and refresh your heart. We just read maybe 10 or 12 different scriptures in the Word of God, confirming uncategorically that that's what God wants to do in your life. But even more than give you rest and refresh our weary heart, He simply wants you to enjoy His presence. He wants you to enjoy His presence. The more you enjoy His presence, the more you'll find yourself in His presence. And the more you find yourself in His presence, the more these cares and concerns and worries will begin to feel so small compared to how big your God is. See, listen again. I want you to hear what the Lord is trying to tell you right now. In these scriptures, God Himself is calling you to Him. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Come enjoy me. Come enjoy my presence. I'm going to read some more scripture to you again because I just know that nothing speaks better than the Word of God itself to tell you how much He wants to give you rest. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Would you stand up? Just stand up. You know, I really believe that right now as I read these scriptures out, that maybe you could close your eyes. And yeah, you'll be hearing my voice, but this is God speaking to you right now, okay? Just close your eyes and understand that the words coming out of my mouth right now are penned by the Lord for you. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Do you not know? Have you not heard? God is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired nor weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. If you're in here tired, listen to me now. You're tired, you're overwhelmed. You're a good person, you're doing your best, honor God in your life, and you love Him. You're a good person, but you're tired. I want you to come to the altar in just a moment. You can even come now if you like. And find rest and peace. And when my team come and pray for you, that's all they're going to pray. God, give them rest. God, flood their hearts with peace. God, give them rest and flood their hearts with peace. God's going to give you rest. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.